It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be a part of what God is doing here in this wonderful place. Let's give God a hand praise for Rocky and his leadership. Amen. Amen. We thank God for his leadership, and we thank God for his lovely wife leading him. Amen. I'm joking. Now you know how it really is, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's just good to be here. And we're just so blessed to just be a part of what the Lord is doing. And I don't want to abuse my time in any way, shape, or form. But as a pastor said, I'll keep my real job as the president of the seminary in South Dallas. But we're going to be here, my wife and children and I, as often as we can, just to be with you. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be in conversation with Rocky and the pastoral staff about how we can just be a part of what the Lord is doing. And I just can't express enough that we're excited about what God has called us to do here. Amen. Amen. We're just excited about it, you know. But there is a word found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Amen. Luke chapter 16. Verses 19 through 31. When you get there, say praise the Lord. All right. I can still see and hear some Bible pages turning, so we're going to wait a few more seconds. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Amen. Verse 19 says, Jesus said, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, or hell, as the old King James Version says, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and Lazarus, that he may, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This morning, we want to talk about the impetus of evangelism, the purpose of evangelism. Now, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. I was a little ghetto kid in Cleveland, Ohio, and I did not go to church. My parents did not raise us in church. We were just kids in the hood, so to speak. We wrestled on the wrestling team. We played football. We played basketball. We did a little boxing. You know, we were just regular neighborhood kids. And then this new kid moved into the neighborhood. He and his family, they went to church every Sunday. His mom and his younger sister and brother, they started going to church at one of the churches in our neighborhood right around the corner from where we lived. But he and his older brother, they caught the bus to the north side of town, to Cedar Avenue, to go to church, their old church. And his older brother graduated from high school and went away to the military. He said to me, he said, Al, listen here. I want you to come to church with me this Sunday. I'm going to my mother's church. And Chris is, he's gone off to the military. And I said, well, Darius, you know, I really don't, we don't go to church. In fact, I had never been to church in my entire life before I was 15 years old. It's hard to believe that. And sure enough, he said, well, I'll tell you what. The reason why I want you to go is because there's this girl named Cloretta. I said, I'll be at your house at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. It's a true story, and it worked. And sure enough, I put on my little duds, and I went to church that Sunday morning. And young people, as we say, I had my swagger on. And I met Cloretta, and sure enough, she was just as pretty as I had imagined. And that girl didn't want to give me the time of day. As we say in our contemporary vernacular, I didn't have no game. I didn't have no rap, if you will. And if my wife were standing up here, she'd be saying, well, you still ain't got no game. So it's the grace of God that I got her. Praise the Lord. But, you know, a strange thing happened to me while I was there. The people were just so great. They were so nice. Little bitty church called East Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, right there on the corner, East 123rd and Miles Avenue. It's still there, different pastor though. And they were just so genuine. And those elderly people, they walked up to me and shook my hand and gave me a hug and said, young man, it's just so good to see you. And I never will forget the pastor of that church, Reverend Thomas. He's dead now. He would stand up and he would preach. I don't care what he was preaching about. At the end of his sermon, he would talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I like that church, and I like the tradition of the black church, and I like the tradition of singing hymns and reading scripture, and I like the tradition of talking to the Lord. And then I felt the Spirit of God moving, although I didn't know what it was back then, but I felt Him moving in my heart. And I started coming to that church on a regular basis, and whenever we went to church, we always went to Sunday school. And Reverend Reese, he was like 76 years old. He could barely read the King James Bible, but he was talking to us about how we shouldn't be out here fornicating. He was talking to us about how we should not get in trouble with the law. And he was talking about how we needed Jesus, otherwise we was going to burn in hell for all eternity. He did not have a formal theological education. And he also said that you need to learn how to love one another. I don't care what the person looks like. I don't care what they sound like. And Reverend Reese was from the Deep South. And when he talked about loving one another, he talked with authority. Amen. And I never will forget being in that little bitty church. And then I gave my life to Christ one day. I was sitting in the pew one day, and I was thinking about it as Pastor Thomas was preaching. I said, Lord, if I die today, I'm going to burn in hell for all of eternity. And that day, I got up and I walked down the aisle and I gave my life to the Lord. And shortly after that, I was baptized. And then I went along the way and got to Bible college, and something happened. Somebody somewhere told me or gave me an impression that if a person gives their life to Jesus because they don't want to burn in hell, that's a bad thing. A person needs to give their life to Jesus because they want good things to happen in their lives. A person ought to give their life to Jesus because they want to increase the sales on their job. They want to enhance their marriage. They just want to be a better person. My brothers and my sisters, let me share something with you. The reason why you and I should go out and tell people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is because when they die, and they stand before a holy God, not having been covered and washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, they're going to burn in hell for all eternity. Yes, the Lord is able to increase the number of sales that you get on your job. Yes, the Lord is able to make things better in your marriage relationship with your spouse. But the primary reason why we ought to do evangelism is because we have to recognize that everybody is going to have to prepare themselves to meet their Maker on that great day. My brothers and sisters, although we as believers in the body of Christ have been reconciled to Almighty God through Christ, we still have an obligation to God and to people to do evangelism. And when I look at Luke chapter 16, I can see four reasons why we should go out and evangelize the Mesquite community. Reason number one, non-Christians need to be made aware of the reality of death. Look at verse 22. The Bible says right here in verse 22, it says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. My brothers and sisters, Jesus talked about death. You and I should not be ashamed to talk about death. You and I should not be afraid to think about death. Death is a reality that we all have to face. And I never will forget, when I was 15 years old, I had it all figured out. I was going to leave the ghetto. I was going to leave the hood. I wasn't going to be an around the way kind of a brother anymore. I was going to go off to the secular university. And I was going to get my business degree. And then I was going to go off to law school. And I was going to be a corporate lawyer somewhere. And I was going to make all the money and have all the fancy cars and the big houses and all that kind of good stuff. You know what? That's all fine and good. And every young person needs to have goals, aspirations, and dreams and passions in life. And I want to encourage you to follow your dreams and pursue your passions, whatever they are in this life. But know this and understand this very well, that all that you see in this life is not all that you see in this life. One day we all have to die and we have to leave everything behind. The degrees, the notoriety, the prestige, the fame, the popularity, whatever it is that you have, it has to stay here. Amen. I love muscle cars. Amen. That's right. That's right. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I love all cars, but I love American cars in particular. That's just what I'm into. I love the Ferraris, I love the Jaguars, but there is nothing, let me tell you, like the smell of the engine of a Camaro. That's right. Yeah, I know I'm weird, but so what? I just like the way it smells. And I like to get into that Challenger or that Charger and turn it on and listen to that bad boy shake. Can I get a witness? Amen. I like to be at the light and see it just growl. You know what I mean? Right? And I like to be in that car and look over at the guy next to me and just give him that look like, I just dare you. Don't even think about trying me, because I will call your bluff. Put that bad boy in gear and drop that hammer and be down there so fast. And you won't see me until the police and pull me over to the side of the road. I love cars. Love them. All right? But I don't care how many cars you get and how awesome they are, you got to leave them behind when you die. They can even bury that. They can even bury you in the ground with that car, but you still can't take it with you. It's got to stay here. The reason why we have to evangelize is because we need to make people aware of the reality of death itself. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man to die, but after this, the judgment. When you die, you got to stand before a holy God. What are you going to say? What you going to do? If you don't have Jesus, let me let you in on a secret. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do if you don't have Jesus. Can I share something with you? I remember when I was younger, before I got educated, I used to be afraid of the devil. I used to be, really. Young people, let me let you in on the secret. The devil is not your problem. Yes, he will attack you. Yes, he will tempt you. Yes, he will try to distract you and all that kind of stuff. But let me share something with you. Let me ask you this question. When you die, do you have to stand before the devil? Is the devil going to decide your eternity? Is the devil going to decide where you spend all of eternity? No, he's not. Almighty God is the one you need to be afraid of. Almighty God is the problem. You have to answer to him. That's the problem. The Bible says that when we die, we have to face the judgment. My brothers, And my sisters, we have to evangelize because of the reality of death itself. Secondly, non-Christians need to be made aware of the reality of hell. Look at verse 23. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it says, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. When it talks about Abraham's bosom, that's a euphemism for being in the presence of Almighty God. My brothers and my sisters, there is a reality called hell. Yes, when the Cowboys lost, I know most of y'all thought that was hell. That was bad. But that's nothing compared to what's going to happen in eternity. If you die, and if these people out here in the world die without knowing Jesus, you have to think about hell. I don't know where we let this doctrine of life enhancement creep into the church. If you follow biblical principles, your life will be better. That's true. But if you follow biblical principles, I'm here to tell you that you can escape and avoid the wrath of a holy God. That's reality. It is our responsibility to let people know that there is a thing and a place called hell. What if you were sitting in Whataburger or McDonald's or some restaurant somewhere and you knew there was a bomb planted in the back in the kitchen area and it was about to go off in 10 minutes? Let me ask you something. Do you have any moral responsibility to let all the people in that restaurant know that there's going to be a bomb that's going to explode in that restaurant? My brothers and my sisters, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Now, you're not responsible for whether or not they get out of that restaurant. If they choose to sit there and sip their coffee, that's up to them. But you do have a moral responsibility to let them know. And in spite of all the theology that's out there, in spite of all the little trendy stuff that we have in our churches, the bottom line is, where will you spend eternity? Non-Christians need to be made aware of the reality of death, and non-Christians need to be made aware of the reality of hell. My brothers and sisters, we have to raise the question that Jesus raised in Matthew 16. He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? The Spirit of God is prompting me to raise this question. When was the last time you asked somebody that question? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing. It's not worth it. And it's our responsibility to get people to understand that reality. Not only must non-Christians be made aware of the reality of death, and not only must non-Christians be made aware of the reality of hell, but thirdly, non-Christians need to be made aware of reality itself. The text says that when Lazarus died, he went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in Hades or hell, and he was tormented. And then he spoke to Abraham. He said, listen, why don't you let me leave here and go back and warn my family members? Because I've got 5 brothers who need to understand this. Let me tell you about reality. There will come a time when it is too late. Don't gamble. There will come a time when it is too late. One cannot make a decision for the Savior after death. That's why it's our responsibility to go out here and tell people that you need to make a decision right now. Can't you hear Joshua's words echoing in the background here? Joshua chapter 24, it says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Will it be God or will it be man? Choose ye this day. Yes, I love muscle cars. I love the football game. And I love the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Amen. Now, if you tell somebody I said that, I'll just deny it. I'm too spiritual to be watching stuff like that. Amen. That's right. But reality is what it is. After you die, there's no going back. There are no second choices, no second chances. And of course, there is no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. Love my Catholic friends. There are some Catholic theologians that I have the utmost respect for. But there is no such thing as purgatory. There is no middle ground. And it is our responsibility to go out and tell people. Fourthly, and I'm going to say this and sit down. Non-Christians need to be made aware of the reality of truth. Abraham told the rich man that if your family members do not believe in Moses and the prophets, then they won't even believe it if somebody were raised from the dead. There are all kind of books that you can go buy in the bookstore and CDs and videos and that sort of thing that talk about people having had out-of-body experiences and having gone to hell and come back to talk about it. Let me share something with you. I don't need to hear about that. I've got the true and the living word of Almighty God. There's a term that we use all the time in academic circles. I'm sure you've heard it. Historians, theologians, Bible scholars, sociologists use it. It's called postmodernism. You see, in pre-modernity, the period of time before the Enlightenment, people based their convictions on something called faith. They just assumed that there was a God who ruled the world. Now, who that God was a different issue. But they just assumed that there was a God who was in control of all the world, in control of all the world. Then modernity came along, or the Enlightenment, and science and all of its technological advancements. And people basically said, well, you know what? We don't need faith to understand truth. We don't need religion to understand truth. And then, you know, theologians and historians debate about when it actually occurred. There was another period of time called postmodernity. That is the time period after the Enlightenment. And what these people basically said was, you know what? We don't need faith to understand truth. We don't need science to understand truth. What we really need is experience to understand truth. Can I share something with you? I do not have to jump off the Empire State Building and experience it before I realize that it will hurt me. Amen. I don't have to be walking around in the woods and be attacked by a bear or a lion and be mauled almost to death before I realize I'm in trouble. I don't need experience to interpret every aspect of my life. That's what this rich man was saying. I've got the experience of having been in hell. I've got the experience of having been tormented in Hades. Let me go back and tell everybody about my experience. And Jesus said it wouldn't matter. Because if a person does not believe in the Bible, they're not going to believe it if somebody comes back from the dead and says, I've been to hell and I've come back to tell you it's not a pretty place. Our responsibility is to tell people that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's our responsibility. And you know, the truth is, it seems so basic. It seems so fundamental. But Rocky and I were talking last week, and I was sharing with him that I'm easily distracted by different things. And that's true of the body of Christ. We get easily distracted by all that goes on in the world and the latest fad and the latest trend that goes on in the church. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's go out here and tell people about who Jesus is. I was talking to a rabbi yesterday. He said, I just don't understand how you people can say that Jesus is the only way to God. How he's the way, the truth, and the life. Well, let me ask you this question. If he's not, then who is? Who is? Think about it. Buddha, when he died, he didn't die on the cross for all of the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. Right? Muhammad, when he died, he didn't die on the cross for the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. Confucius, none of those people. In fact, they're all still dead. Jesus is the only one who fits the description. It's got to be Jesus. It can't be anybody else. I believe the Bible. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. But even if I didn't believe the Bible, I'd have to sit down and rationalize, who else could it be? It can't be anybody else. Amen? He's the only one who has the power. He's the only one who can perform the task. Or as Larry the cable guy says, he's the only one who can get her done. Love that guy. He's funny. Amen. Who else could it be? And it is our responsibility to go out and warn this world. The kingdom of God is coming. And if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to be ready. You need to be prepared. That's our responsibility. Now, we don't have to go out and nag people and create problems. But it's our responsibility to lovingly warn people. Family members, friends, the guys on the football team, wrestling team, cheerleaders, whoever they are. The people we see at work every day. Do you know the Savior? I'm supposed to point the way. Do you understand that? That's our responsibility. That's our calling. That's the reason why we exist. All that going to work and stuff, that's secondary. Amen? God bless y'all. Love y'all so much. I look forward to what the Lord is going to do here at Mimosa Lane. And I'm sorry that my first sermon on my first official Sunday that I'm on staff here, I had to, as Rocky says, give y'all hell. But that's... Amen. But that's reality.
A man once told Billy Graham, who was not a believer, a man from England, said to Dr. Graham, he said, if I believed in hell like you say you believe in hell, he said, I would crawl on my hands and knees on broken glass to tell people about this Jesus you're talking about. You know, my conviction is that non-Christians don't believe in hell because Christians don't believe in hell. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would deepen within our hearts the reality of reality. People are lost without Christ. And there's not degrees of lostness. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Either going to heaven or you're not. There's two kinds of people in the world, saved and lost. God followers, Christians are those that are not. There's two destinies, like there were two thieves on the cross. One went to paradise, one did not. One believed, one did not. Lord, I pray that you deepen within us the purpose of telling people about Jesus, because there is an eternal destiny called hell apart from Christ. Help us as your children to deepen in our understanding of the gravity of eternity away from God, that we might have an internal compulsion to really see everyone we meet, every restaurant we go into, every gas station, every classroom. Those people are not rich and poor, black and white, smart and dumb. They're saved or lost. Help us to live the purpose of lifting up the only one who can take them to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever decision that needs to be made this morning, I pray that it will be made. Maybe, God, for some of us this morning, you've brought a person to our minds, a family member, a friend, a work associate, that at least we don't know where they stand for eternity. Or maybe we do, and we've never had the courage to speak to them about Jesus. And God, you've brought a burden to our hearts. And we need to come and lift that person before you and ask you to give us the courage to live in obedience to your will and tell them about Jesus. And to consciously, intentionally attempt to let you live through us in the environment of our lives. Lord, this invitation is yours. It could be there's someone in this service that does not know if they're going to heaven or hell. They don't know if they know Jesus Christ. Lord, this invitation is yours. Draw us to yourself that we might fulfill the purpose of telling this world about you. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.